This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 3 was recorded on May 13th, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Just a quick housekeeping note, folks. We have, on listener request, changed the format so that we're going to give you each Macro Voices All-Stars as a separate podcast. So each interview will be contained in its own mini podcast episode. Today, we've got Fed Watcher Danielle DiMartino Booth. Now, Danielle, most people, as we're speaking on Monday afternoon, are all up in arms about the trade war. They feel like the sky is falling because it seems like Donald Trump and President Xi just can't get along. You told me off the air, though, that you think it was actually Jay Powell's last press conference. As you put it, he was the Grinch that stole liquidity. And you think that's really what got this risk-off trend started. Please elaborate.
Well, so I think that, a matter of trading days ago, we could count them on two hands, that investors were not only looking forward to the completion of a successful trade agreement between China and the United States, they were also all keyed up for an insurance rate cut, which is what Federal Reserve Board Rich Clarida had alluded to in some recent public comments. So I think that kind of the risk-off mood, if you will, began when Jay Powell gave markets a big Heisman. His formal remarks were 6.5 minutes long. His press conference was 41 minutes, soup to nuts. That was an all-time record short amount of time in front of the press. He gave very curt answers. And as hard as he was pressured over and over again by trying to reframe the question, aren't you going to give us a rate cut, Santa Claus? He refused to go there.
What do you think that it would take at this point for him to go there? And I guess go there could either be a rate cut or it could be some other accommodation, such as formally stopping quantitative tightening right now rather than waiting until September. What would it take at this point, if it hasn't happened yet, for them to take action?
Well, I think that because there are so many indicators that are real time, that it wouldn't take very much actually to have the Fed at least take the interim step of saying, you know what, we're not just going to curtail quantitative tightening beginning in May and ending in September. We're going to stop it sooner. They've got weekly mortgage application data. They've got weekly jobless claims data to look to. They'll have companies' CFOs batten down the hatches all over again. All you need to do to really scare out real economic damage is to have a 1 or 2 week sustained downturn in stocks. And that's going to be enough to get the people who populate the C-suites back to getting out their pink slips and contemplating how they're going to cut costs, because the first quarter slowdown in earnings growth is not going to be this one quarter aberration, but rather it's something that is going to be prolonged going into the second and the third quarter, such that we don't get this magical double-digit earnings growth in 2019 that we were all promised after a little bit of a shaky first quarter. That will bring the Fed off the sidelines.
Danielle, what data does the Fed have, or what's coming up in terms of the data that you watch that might be the catalyst, if you will, to bring them around to maybe reevaluating their stance and taking action?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the Powell press conference, you heard him use the word transient several times. This is kind of the Powell version of Yellen's transitory. So that means that the Fed is thinking that the very broken inflation metric, I digress, they should not use the core PCE. But this is a sign that the Fed thinks that the slowdown that it's seen in inflation is going to be something that corrects itself such that it does not have to be taking measures to look to lowering interest rates here in the near term. The problem I see with that is the Fed's own data have shown, the New York Fed takes a survey of consumer expectations every month. One was released just this morning, Monday morning, that showed that since the data was gathered in 2013, households' expectations of declining inflation showed the biggest increase, if you will, since the beginning of the survey. So more households than at any other time in years anticipate that inflation is going to be declining. That's not going to make the Fed hawkish, it's going to make the Fed dovish. We're also beginning to see weakness in commercial real estate. The Fed's senior loan officer survey, which they follow very closely, has shown that there has been no rebound at all in commercial real estate lending, especially on the multifamily side. That's been one of the biggest drivers of economic growth here in the current recovery. We've seen since the bottoming of prices in multifamily, 315% rebound. So it really has been a stalwart standout. There's nothing transitory or transient, however, if we see continued weakness that we're seeing emerging in rents. Once you see that biggest line item in U.S. household budgets turn, it tends not to be transitory, but it tends to be entrenched. So the Fed will follow these signs, and it won't take them long. You won't have to wait very long to hear the dovish rhetoric, because there's nothing more than signs that disinflationary impulses are becoming entrenched to bring out the doves in everybody on the Federal Open Market Committee.
Okay, well, from everything that you're saying, there's plenty of reason already, completely independent of this whole trade war thing. You're saying there's a lot of good reasons in the data that they ought to be turning dovish already. And now we've got a market scare on top of all that because everybody's freaking out over this trade war thing. But still, we haven't seen any action. Is this Jay Powell maybe getting even a little bit with all of the comments that Donald Trump has made personally about Powell? Is it maybe Powell's turn to say, look, I don't have to act until I want to? Is this a showing of teeth thing, or is there something more to it?
Well, again, let's go back to the Grinch that stole liquidity, because I don't think in a million years that Jay Powell would have had this sourpuss look on his face had Trump and Pence both not been out saying, we think the Fed should reduce interest rates by 100 basis points and launch quantitative easing. It is not the place of the administration to be that specific. And the backfire effect on Trump is that if you're going to push Jay Powell into that corner, Jay Powell may be more dovish than he should be. He may be frightened of credit markets, and rightly so. We saw that in the financial stability report that came out just after the most recent FOMC. But one thing that Jay Powell is not, people need to understand, is political. This is a man who worked for a $1 salary on his own time to educate the Congress on the perils of the U.S. defaulting on its debt. He's worth somewhere between $50 and $100 million. He is not at the Fed to get the pension for life. He can afford that on his own. Thank you very much. He's there to serve his country. And he has always been something of a patriot in that sense. And because his position is supposed to be agnostic and apolitical, he's not going to bend to Trump's will. Trump trying to bully him into doing so very publicly is, as you say, going to make him dig his heels in even more. It's a backfire.
And do you think that President Trump is really trying to influence him to cut rates and launch QE? Or do you think that President Trump is asking something he knows to be impossible so that he can shift the blame? It's like, well, you know, I said they should do X, Y, and Z, and they didn't do it, and that's the reason the market crashed, if they'd just listened to me. Do you think that's the setup that we're seeing here?
Well, it's a win-win, right, from the perspective of President Trump. Either he's got a fairy godmother who's dropping 100 basis point rate cuts to the extent that we only have, oh, I don't know, two of them, and quantitative easing on the market. Either we have that, so, you know, we have total happy days are here and a huge liquidity surge, or Trump's got a scapegoat. So as far as he's concerned, from his perspective as the art of the deal maker, it's a win-win.
Now, as far as what we should be looking for, Danielle, obviously the last FOMC meeting just happened, so we've got 6 weeks till the next one. Are there either press statements or speaking engagements or other things coming up that would be the logical time for the Fed to drop the next tape bomb? And if so, when is that? What should we be paying attention to?
Well, you know, we'll have to see how bitter Powell is, because the Fed can always drop a hint of niceness when next Wednesday's minutes are released at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that would really be the next large broadcasted big media coverage moment. I'll be in New York, of course, for the Fed to drop a big hint. And this could be validated and reiterated in Fed speak and what have you. So we'll see if something happens. If markets do not recover, and if this sell-off was to continue, I would fully anticipate there being dovish language in those minutes that are going to be released.
Danielle, we really appreciate all of your excellent commentary today. We're going to leave it there in the interest of time. We'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
As we know, a whole heck of a lot can change in a couple of weeks' time, so I very much look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.